The creator and host of This American Life will be at the Aronoff Center on Saturday evening for Reinventing Radio, an evening with Ira Glass. And it's a pleasure to welcome Ira Glass to Cincinnati Edition this afternoon. Ira, good to talk to you, and it's exciting that you're going to be bringing your unique brand of storytelling to Cincinnati.
I'm excited to be coming, and I'm glad to be here.
Reinventing Radio, what's the story behind the title of the show?
I mean, when This American Life went on the air, like, I really thought of it. I and Tori Malatia, my partner at WBEZ, we really thought of it as, like, let's make something that's very different from anything that's on the air, that is organized along different principles and really tries to rethink how do you do a radio show. I mean, now we've been on the air a while, so I think people are used to it. But even within that, we are constantly looking for new things to do, new ways to do the show. We'll do investigative reports. We did a musical. We did some operas. We did, you know, like turning journalism into all these other things that journalism isn't usually turned into.
What were the early influences, and how did you develop your style of storytelling?
I mean, I started working at NPR when I was 19, when I was a kid at NPR in Washington. And by the time I was 20, I was a production assistant on All Things Considered and on The Overnight on Morning Edition. And there was always a kind of story that I really loved. And there'll be one on the daily news shows every couple of days where there's characters and scenes and funny moments and emotional moments, and you just kind of get caught up in it. And that's just what I liked, and I thought you could do a whole show of stories like that. And then the other thing that was like one of the driving principles at the beginning was to apply the tools of journalism to stories that are smaller and more personal than journalists would ever tackle. That is, treat things that happen, little incidents in a person's life, things with their families, things with you know whatever, as things that you could actually treat journalistically with narrative, with story.
Ira, do you think the spoken word has a lot of power to it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think radio, there's something about the intimacy of not seeing people and hearing people talk, and when somebody's talking from the heart, it can just get to you. And sometimes I feel like one of the advantages that we have as a radio show, over television or other media, is that intimacy, is that we can create a connection and you can feel a connection with somebody so easily.
When did This American Life premiere, Ira?
Back in 1995, November 1995. And we started as a local show, and we did it as a local show for 6 months to figure out how to make the show, since it was unlike any of the shows I'd ever worked on before.
So it's been almost 20 years now. That's just hard to believe. How many stations do you have now, and how many listeners does the show have?
I mean, we're on over 500 public radio stations, and on the radio, it's about 2.2 million listeners. And then in the last decade, we've added a podcast audience, and the podcast audience is now about 1 million people a week. And it's interesting, like in public radio, there's always been this fear by member stations that as we add people listening on the internet, we will lose audience listening on the radio. And one of the things that our show, at least when it comes to our show, like we've added 1 million people on the internet and haven't lost any on the radio.
Now, you were talking about the new podcast. That's Serial, correct?
No, I'm talking about our podcast of our
show.
Of This American Life, the podcast of This American Life.
Okay.
That we did just start a second show, and it's just a podcast. I mean, again, this is what I think about when I think about reinventing radio, like what do you do next? And so we started this show 4 weeks ago, and it's just a podcast because we think it's a design of a program that's better as a podcast, where it's a story that it's a murder that happened in 1999. It's a true story, and it's reporting that it takes 12 episodes to unfold, and we felt like what you need is to hear the stories in order for it to make sense, and so that seems more suited to podcasting than imagine if it was on the radio and it's week 7 and you turn on, you're just like, I don't even know what this is, what are they talking, who are these people, it just is not so suited for radio, and that's incredibly popular as well. Now we have 500,000 people listening to that each week.
Of all the topics you've ever dealt with, what's your favorite?
I mean, I wish I had an easy answer to that. I mean, one advantage of doing a show with our format is that every single thing we do, like, you know, most of it doesn't have anything to do with the news. And so the only reason that we're doing it is because, like we as a staff are excited to do it. So pretty much, like, everything that's on the show, you know, is something that we're pretty interested in doing and pretty excited to get on the air. I mean, honestly, like, the last month and a half, I feel like every show we've done has been one that's been like an amazing show to work on. We did one on the Federal Reserve, an investigative report. We did one on discipline in schools. And these subjects don't sound like they'd be super fun, but I feel like we were able to get at them in ways that seemed really new.
Did you ever have a story that turned out to be more of a surprise than you expected when you originally started working on it?
I mean, that happens all the time. Like, I feel like very, very often there'll be a story that we think is just going to be like a 10-minute story, and then it ends up completely taking over an episode of the show. That happened with there was a story about Sarah Koenig, the woman who's doing Serial. She started looking into this other murder case years ago. Doctor, Dr. Gilmer. And we always thought of that as like, oh, that'll be like this little 20-minute story. And then it grew out to be a full show. Or the show that we did on the Federal Reserve a few weeks ago began as a much smaller story, and then ended up needing to stretch out. I mean, things happen. One of the biggest stories I ever worked on myself came out of was a story about this judge down in Georgia, and where the story came from was we decided to do an episode of our show modeled after an old column from the Atlanta Journal Constitution, old newspaper down there, and the column was this writer who would just go to small towns. He would just basically pick a small town off a map, and then he would drive there that morning, and he would force himself to find a story by the end of the day. And the column was called The Georgia Rambler. And we thought, that is a really fun reporting assignment. You just drop into a small town and you have to find a story by the end of the day, and that's your job. And so we just thought, like, well, as a staff, that'll be a really fun thing to do. Let's go down and do that. So seven of us flew to Georgia, and we put all the names of the Georgia counties in a hat, and there's like dozens of them. And we each pulled names from a hat, and I got Brunswick, Georgia. And so the very first person I talked to, like, walked up to on the street outside of a post office, told me about this guy who had a beef with the local judge. And I just started asking people about this judge and this guy who had this beef with this judge, and everybody had a story about it. And I started to put together this story. And then at some point I realized, like, oh, this is way bigger than this one guy. Like people were telling me stuff about this judge that, if it were true, I was like, oh, this is really... if this judge is doing what people say this judge is doing, like, somebody, you know, like a reporter should look into this. And then I sort of had a moment of like, oh, I guess I kind of am a reporter. And so I kept flying back down there. You know, I did a little story, like a little, you know, like 6-minute story for that episode of the show. But then I kept flying back down there to try to dig up evidence, to try to get people to go on the record with what they were saying about this judge. And it took six, seven months before I could even get anyone on the record. Finally, the thing that came through was that, like, a girl who was imprisoned by this lady, finally agreed to talk to me. It took months to get through to her. And you know, that's one of the things where, like, you know, just like one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And so we did this hour long show about this judge, like, got the right documentation, could sort of say a bunch of things that were very alarming about this judge, and she is off the bench now, you know, like, she's off the bench. And I feel like when you're doing documentary stories, it's sort of like you just sort of start to walk towards a thing and then just wait to see what happens, you know?
What kind of reaction do you get? Do you have people come up to you and say, that particular story and your style of telling it really had an impact on my life?
No. No. Like, I think, like, in the rare, like, if you're on the radio, like, it sounds like you get recognized very often, you know what I mean? Like, and in the very rare times that it happens, you know, like, what people say is like, oh, I really like your show. You know, like, it's very, people are super nice, but no, like, I don't think it's like, oh, you know, I don't know. I don't think that things that we watch on TV or listen to on the radio change our lives in that way. I think, you know, like, what we make is a sort of entertainment, right? Like, it's an entertainment. And even if it's a thoughtful entertainment, that's what it is. And hopefully, like, it does what a good entertainment does, and people get caught up in it, and I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. So people are very nice in saying like that they enjoyed it, and I like that.
Coming back to your performance in Cincinnati this weekend, what's in store for people who attend? They'll actually get to see you recreate the sound of the show on stage, won't they?
Yeah, I stand on stage and I have an iPad on which I have clips and music. And basically, like, I talk about, you know, how the show is made and how we do it and stuff that was never able to make it to the air for various reasons, and some of them very interesting reasons. And play clips, and then basically as I play clips of the show, I basically can recreate the sound of the radio show around me. I have the music and the ambient sound and the quotes and can just kind of like make the thing happen around me.
So this actually gives the audience an insider's look at how radio is made.
Yes, an insider's look probably none of them ever wanted, but or maybe they did. I don't know. It's funny because, you know, if you think about, like, there's a whole industry of, like, you know, DVD extras and things that take you behind the scenes at TV shows and movies. And so at this point, I feel like we've all like, kind of have a vague sort of sense of, yes, that's how they make a movie. And I think that for people who listen to public radio a lot, I think that you don't hear people talk about, like, why in the world is it made this way? And especially a show like ours, which when we started it, it was so different in its principles to pretty much everything else on the air.
Ira, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's going to be great having you in Cincinnati this weekend.
I look forward to coming back to Cincinnati.
Ira Glass, host of This American Life, Reinventing Radio, is Saturday evening at 8 at the Aronoff Center. You can find links to purchase tickets at WVXU.org.